Welcome back to the School of Greatness, one of the top podcasts in the world. Today, we have the incredibly talented Zooey Deschanel. You know her as the star of the hit TV show New Girl and films like Almost Famous. But today, Zooey is here to share a more personal side of her story, from her recent engagement to the challenges and triumphs of her career in Hollywood. Thanks so much for joining us. I think you're going to love this. Now, let's dive in.
There were things that happened in the business that were, for a little bit, kind of felt like we're gonna be the end, right? I was like, ooh, is this the end? Am I just gonna be a musician?
And really? Like you thought your career was over?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Really?
I did, I really did.
In addition to being a musician, a writer, an entrepreneur, Zooey Deschanel has been in some of our favorite movies like Almost Famous or starring opposite Will Ferrell in the Christmas classic Elf and the offbeat romantic comedy 500 Days of Summer.
I had this thing, like when I was a kid, people would look at me and laugh and be mean. And so like the same feeling when everyone looks at you, and so it would remind me of that. That was really hard actually.
Really?
I really wasn't prepared for it. Like people running up and, you know, crowding you and that stuff. Nobody gives you any playbook for that. When I let go and I'm not just going, will they like me if I do that? When I kind of am myself, I am successful.
What would you say since starting your career was the biggest challenge you've had to overcome?
Yeah. Oh. The thing is, a lot of people see things from far away and they're like, oh, you're so successful, but you have like...
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
We've all got old stuff that we should toss, but an old 401k, make sure it keeps working for you. A Fidelity rollover IRA has no account fees or minimums to open. An easy-to-follow rollover process makes it simple to get started in under 15 minutes. Plus, you'll have access to a rollover specialist. Whether you've switched jobs or are just organizing your finances, learn more at fidelity.com/rollover. Consider all your options and the applicable fees and features of each before moving your retirement assets. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. Very excited about our guest. We have the inspiring Zooey Deschanel in the house. So good to see you.
So good to see you, too.
Very excited. We, in a past life, we used to be neighbors.
It's true.
we both grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we both got engaged around the same time.
I know. It's incredible.
So congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you. You, too.
Thank you. And
Where'd you guys get engaged, by the way?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I told her at the beginning of last year that by the end of the year we'll be engaged.
Oh, good for you.
Because she wanted to start a family eventually, and she was like, you know, what's the plan?
Right.
So I was like, okay, by the end of the year we'll get engaged.
Yeah.
So I had a live annual event called the Summit of Greatness that I did in Columbus, Ohio, my hometown.
Your hometown.
Which I did every year. And I interviewed her on stage in front of thousands of people. And at the end, you'll like this, at the end of our interview, at the end of the event, I stood up and I said, everyone, you know, let's give it up for Martha. Everyone's clapping at the end of our conversation. And then I'm standing there in front of the audience and saying, oh, wait a minute. I forgot, you know, there's one question I've always wanted to ask someone on my show that I've never asked in 10 years of the show. And so I turned to her and I, you know, asked her,
will you marry me? That's so sweet.
And so it was a cool little moment. Her family was there. My family was there.
That's
so
great.
It was a good moment.
Was everybody surprised? Was she surprised?
I think she was.
Yeah.
Because I was planning to do it later in the year. So it was right. kind of months before. So
yeah.
it was a good moment.
That's great.
Did you know that you were going to get engaged
no,
at that moment?
No, really? I had no idea. No, I was really surprised.
Did you guys talk about engagement?
We knew at some point it would happen, but we'd been together a long time, like 4 years. And I just really wasn't expecting it. Especially, we were on a tour of Edinburgh Castle, which is like this amazing castle. We had the kids with us, and it was kind of like one of those things, like going to a museum, you know, you do with the kids, and they're kind of like, you know.
Did they know?
No, not until the end, like the very, right before it happened, he kind of, Jonathan went in the other room to like get mic'd up, and somehow my son like saw it somehow and got confused, was like, why does he have a mic on, you know, like he didn't know what a mic was, but he was like, something weird is going on. They actually held up the sign that said,
wow, that's cute.
They had the sign. Yeah, it was all a big surprise. But we finished this tour of the castle. And like my son had put this big giant sticker on me. And actually earlier in the day, it was funny because Jonathan's like, you know, we're going to this castle. We might meet the royal family.
Oh, really?
So you have to dress nicely. This was like how he got me to like not wear jeans.
Wow.
I mean, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that's kind of weird. Uh-huh. I just thought it was kind of weird. I was like, why would they just be like hanging out? This,
right,
like,
right.
It's not like a castle where people live. It's like, you know.
Sure.
More of like a museum. Uh-huh. And so I was like, okay, that's weird. And then it was like, no hats. And I was like.
It's like all these
also
rules.
Also weird. Yeah, there were like a ton of rules in the calendar. And he goes, I don't know. He's like, you better iron your clothes. And he was like, actually, I'll iron it for you. Like he ironed my skirt for me. And
really?
I was like, he's really like, really wants
like,
to be
like,
make
sure you do
nice
your nails.
For this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he didn't actually tell me to do that. And my mom was actually, like, she was like, you need to get someone to do her hair and makeup or something. And he was like, no, she's fine. Which luckily I luckily had a manicure,
that's
all that
good.
Stuff.
Maybe he knew you already had that, so.
He knew it. Otherwise, yeah. He might have been
crazy. I took her to go, like, the week before.
Smart.
I was like, oh, we should go. You know, we're going on a trip.
Get a
to the
manicure.
Event. Let's get a manicure. I was like, I'll get a foot rub or something, you know, which I, like,
smart.
Never do. But I'm like, I'll go with you.
And, all these things you have to think of because they take pictures of your hands.
I know, right? Exactly.
Close-ups.
You know, both of us growing up in the 90s, I'm curious. I didn't really learn about how to create healthy relationships growing up.
I didn't learn, there wasn't
as much tools and information
and
books about love and vulnerability and intimacy.
Yeah, not as much info, not as much accessible info, right?
Yeah, you know, therapy wasn't an option growing up really. It was more like being from Ohio is never like talk about your feelings type of thing. When I got older and I started to do kind of like healing work and learn about relationships and vulnerability and intimacy, I was like, wow, there's so much more I needed to learn about love and intimacy. And since we're talking about intimacy and love, I'm curious, did you have a good toolbox of how to be in great, like how to express love and receive love growing up? Or was it more challenging for you to experience love?
I have like such great parents and like a great, my sister is great, so great. Like I have a really great like family unit that I came from, and I went to a school that was very like encouraging. Like we had basically every year from seventh grade on at my school, we had like kind of like a weekly group therapy kind of session. Yeah, it's called their like mysteries program. And everybody learns how to express their feelings and it's great. But I still have learned so much just as an adult, like, you know, going to therapy, all those things I have found to be incredibly enriching to my life.
Right.
And I'm always learning and always discovering. I'm very much like a self-improver. Like I'm always like looking to like get better. Like there's always something to work on, and that's always how I've been. I'm like, give me notes.
Really?
I'll take them. I, yeah. Like,
even in acting and in
everything,
your career as well?
I want to always be improving. I want to get, I'm always looking to get better. That's just
really?
In everything. Yeah. Because like, if you're just, what, I just want to stay in the middle? No. I want to keep going. I want to get better at everything all the time.
Sometimes you hear the stereotype of, you know, actors or actresses that can't take feedback because they get so criticized and they feel like they're not good enough. But you are more of like, I want to dive in and give me feedback.
You have to. I think partially too, because I'm actually like a very direct person myself. So I'll like say what's on my mind.
You're like, I don't like that.
And then if somebody pushes, I'll be like, I don't know. Tell me why. I will only go, I want to know why. But like, I'll push back at hoping that somebody will, not like a rude way, but hoping that somebody will give me why and we can come to a better understanding. I think it's like, I really want to do the best job possible, you know, and that's always the goal, you know, like, if you are respectful and nice and you say, I don't know, I don't agree with that. But you still, as an actor, it's part of the job to take direction.
Sure.
That's, you have to.
Wow.
If you can't trust your director, then you're kind of screwed. Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes you have to push back because you don't understand, or sometimes you think maybe they have the wrong idea and you'll do a better job doing something else. And I always think like an actor, it's an actor's job to know the character better than anybody else.
Really? Better than the director or the producer?
Yeah, because they have a lot of things to think about.
Uh-huh.
Producer's thinking about like very, very, very many things on the outside of the production. The director's thinking about like everything overall. They certainly will have like a lot of ideas about, you know, it's kind of more big picture. Director's more big picture. Actor's more... like it's more, you know, micro.
Right.
And every job pretty much other than director and producer on a film set is very micro. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you have a lot of people doing very, very, very detailed work.
Sure.
And I think of an actor, you're just doing very, very detailed work on your character. So if you think something's off, you have to say something.
Mm.
But like, again, you also have to be able to take direction. So it's kind of like you have to be quite flexible.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you're big into growth and wanting to become better.
Oh, always. Yeah.
What would you say since starting your career was the biggest challenge you've had to overcome?
Yeah. Oh, since starting. Oh, like, there have been so many. I mean, it's like there's so many times where you're like, the thing is a lot of people see things from far away and they're like, oh, you're so successful. But you have like moments of great success. And then you have moments where that success dips, you know, especially since I started out doing movies. Movies are like, you might have like a big movie and it is marketed to everybody and there's tons of publicity around it. And everyone's hearing about you. And then you get like a ton of attention, maybe like a lot of offers. You get, you know, a lot of accolades. People come up to you, you know, you get that. And then, you know, when that marketing goes away and people aren't seeing, then those things kind of ebb and flow a lot and you feel it.
How does that feel like when you get all the attention for 3 to 4 months and then maybe
and then
crickets for a year, 6 months or
a year?
It's
nice to have breaks from like, if you're like being like the people maybe like say like Taylor Swift, right? Is like Taylor Swift can't go anywhere
every day.
Without, right?
Yeah,
every day, you know, and that's challenging that you can't go. And it's like, sometimes you just want to go and be a normal person, go to the grocery store and like not have people like looking at you all the time. I think it's nice to have some breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think like, you know, hopefully as an actor, you have like a long career and then you go through phases of your life and you're going to fit different, you know, as an actor, you play different parts. So you're going to fit into different categories over the course of your career, and that you have these, it can be awkward transitions between like.
Really?
Yeah, very much.
What's the hardest transition you've had to make in your career?
I don't know if I would say like, I mean, it's definitely there were things that happened in the business that were maybe for us for a little bit kind of felt like we're going to be the end, right? Of like, I was like, because I do music too. And I was like, there was a time I remember it was like I was doing indie movies like my whole 20s. And was successful at that and doing, and then like some bigger comedies and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, around the end of my 20s, a bunch of the studios cut their slates like majorly. So then they cut out those like comedy kind of movies that they would do, and they cut the like parts of the studio that would do the smaller
the stuff
movies.
You're working on
the
yet.
Stuff that I did all got cut, right? And then they were making superhero movies only, and that's cool. I like superhero movies, but like that's not the only thing I like, and that's not the kind of stuff that I like cut my teeth doing. And so I was like, ooh, is this the end? Am I just going to be a musician? And
really? Like you thought your career was over?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Really?
I did. I really did. And I toured like for, I remember I toured like for a year straight. I was just like not working on anything. Yeah, I just toured. And then New Girl popped up. I remember getting that script and I hadn't thought about like back then. It's funny. Now we just think TV and movies all the same. Everyone, like all these movie stars do TV. Back then, like people who did movies did not cross over to do TV. It was like considered this weird thing. Like there was like some line of delineation and it was like,
it's like what are you doing?
No,
yeah.
Why would you do a TV show? It was like maybe occasionally.
Don't ruin your career.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it would be an HBO show somebody would do, Showtime or something like that. But doing a network TV show was like not done.
Wow.
And I remember being like, that's stupid. Why would that be, you know, and I kind of think my own kind of like a little bit of rebelliousness inside me going, well, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why would I let that define me? Like, if the material is good and I trust the show creator, which I did, she's like unbelievably talented, and I know who's involved, like Jake Kasdan, who directed the pilot, like I've known forever and he's extraordinarily talented. If I know all these people and I know they do quality work and they are like doing something that I want to work on, why do I care whether it's like a movie or a TV show? You know, obviously doing a TV show is like a little bit more like getting married. So you're kind of like, you're in it. You could be in it for a really long time. But yeah, I remember being like, nah, I'm not listening to that stupid like old idea that like film actors aren't supposed to do TV. So I just did it and it paid off so well. And then all these film actors that I knew were coming up and going, I want to do a TV show. I remember like very famous
really?
People. Yeah, coming and saying, oh, I want to do TV. And I was like, I felt good about the fact that I had done something that was a little bit scary, you know, but it paid off, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I think you have to go where the, like as an actor, anyone creative, go where the material is. Don't think about the medium so much.
Really?
Because like, yeah, who cares where it is, whether it's a play, it's like, you know, a podcast, you know, a TV show, a web series, a movie, a little tiny indie. If the material is good, that should be the thing that's the most important.
So what makes you decide what you want to work on now? And would you do, you know, a small web series if the material was incredible now? Or
it would
there
have to be like really incredible. I go where material and who I'm
the
working
team,
with
team,
and the
yeah,
team,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Cause obviously, I mean, I've also like read scripts and been like, I don't get this. And then it turns out to be great because the director knows how to make it great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Was there ever a script that you read and you said, nah, I don't really like this. But mm-hmm. then it later went on to be like this big success.
Yeah. Well, cause sometimes it's like, I don't get it. Cause it's not for me. There are things like knowing our own, like what we are great at, you know, is also important. Like, I always want to know I'm going to add value to something. Like, if I don't get it, I'm not going to add value, you know? I'll be, like, floundering. But then I'll be like, there have been times where I've read something and I'm like, I don't really get it. And then I'll see some actress just, like, crush it. And I'm like, oh, she knew how to do that part. It's just, like, who they are and their angle on it. And, yeah, I mean, it's happened so many times.
How have you learned how to, I guess, deal with rejection? or with not getting the part.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at your list of credits, like, it seems like everything that you've ever auditioned for, you've gotten. Is what it looks like. There's so much you've worked on, right? And so many successes. But I know just being in LA that you've probably done many
so
rounds
much
of auditioning.
Yeah.
Especially earlier in your career where you just go on audition and you don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
How have you learned to navigate and, I guess, go through that process of rejection?
Yeah, it's really hard at first. And I'm really happy that I did it. I was like in high school when I started. So it felt like, oh, this is bonus. You know, it was like what I really wanted to do. But I didn't think, oh, I have to make it now when I'm 16 years old. I thought like, oh, well, hopefully by the time I'm 25, I'm successful. But I wasn't like, oh, I need to be
crushing it as a teenager.
So I kind of knew that it was like recreational, but it did mean a lot to me. And I would take the rejection pretty hard.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I'm an emotional person. So I would be like, I remember like crying and like, it was sometimes you get really attached to something. Like you
really
work on
it.
You really want it.
You're practicing it. Yeah.
But then I think I realized, you know, after a lot of that, that I don't know, your skin gets thicker and you start to just go, well, if they don't, you know, they don't get me, or maybe I wasn't the right person for it. Like I was just talking, you know, it's not an insult to you if you don't get a part. It's not like, oh, you suck because of that. I think actually the best thing, now that we're talking, the best thing that happened to me was,
one of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am, or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Set your mind free with a free plan from Fidelity. Start by organizing your plan around what matters most to you. As you go, you'll be able to see your full financial picture, which covers spending, saving, debt, and goals in one simple view. Get started by visiting fidelity.com/freeplan. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE SIPC.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I remember the first time I was involved in the other side, on the other side of casting. Like, I had already been cast in something and they wanted me to come in and read with all the guys coming in.
Is this a TV show or a movie?
It was a movie, yeah. And
you had the part. They were like, we want to see you test with other people.
Exactly. They wanted to see me like read with a bunch of guys who were coming in to play like my boyfriend and see, you know, chemistry and see how they were. And I remember that the guy who was actually the absolute best actor, he was so incredible, was just not right for the part.
Interesting.
And there was another guy who was more like limited in his skill, but he was right for the part and was the one who got it. But I kind of was like, oh, I wish I could just I mean, I didn't ever tell the like actor that didn't get cast, like, because I never saw him again, but like he was incredible, right? And you're like, oh my God, what an actor. Like, he just taking everything in a way that like I admire so much.
Wow.
But it's not about you. It's about it's not about your skills. It's about an overall persona. It's like, there's certain parts I'm just not going to play because I don't represent that to people. Mm. You know, it's like, there are just certain things that, you know, you don't work in that part. Yeah. And that was it.
But I feel like a lot of people take things so personally when their project doesn't work out, or they launch a book and people don't buy it or whatever. People aren't.
It's really hard.
So when did you learn to not take things personally and to realize it's not about me and my talent? Yeah. It's just I don't play the character the way that it needs to be played.
Yeah.
And it's just not the right fit. When was that? How old were you when you started?
I was in my 20s for sure.
Really?
I mean, it took me a while because I started when I was really young. But yeah, I was definitely in my 20s. And, you know, it's still things keep connecting. Like, as I get older, I'm less affected by those things. But every once in a while, I'm like surprised by something that I'll be like, whoa, that hurt. You
really?
Know? Of course. Yeah.
And what was the last time you had that experience, though? Because I'm assuming at this moment, people just say, we want you for this part. You probably don't have to audition that much, or maybe they just want to do a quick read.
I don't audition much, but
we want you. If you want it, you got the part.
Right. I mean, it's not so much that stuff. It's just, I mean, I can't even think, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm still surprised by stuff. You know, I can't think specifically. It's not the same stuff, because it's not like going in and reading and then putting my heart into an audition and then
practicing.
You know, but I actually, you know, I don't think that stuff ever goes to waste, because even if you're like, you work really hard on something and you put that energy into a character, like, you end up using it later in like another character. I always think, like, you work really hard on something and people remember when you work hard and you know, people remember. So it doesn't go away. So it's like, when you do a good job, people remember.
And maybe in 3 years.
Yeah, they might go, you know what? She wasn't right for that part, but we really liked her. And she did, you know, she put so much effort into that. Mm. It is really appreciated when you, and I know for myself, there are times when I don't have, you know, when I really like say, I still have, you know, I still will like meet, you know, directors and producers and things. And when I take the time to really study their past work or study the script that that they're, you know, making, it really pays off. Like, if I haven't done the work, I don't come across as well, you know. So all those things, I mean, we still are freelancers. Actors are
freelancers. You gotta prepare and show up.
You still have to prepare and show up, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the part you played, or the project you worked on, that taught you the most about yourself? Maybe it was a well-known thing that people know about and see, or maybe it was something small that no one really ever saw. But what's the part you've played in your career that taught you the most about you?
I mean, probably like getting to do New Girl, because it was so long. Like, it was over, you know, 7 seasons, and I mean, it was like 8 years of my life.
Wow.
And before that, you know, because I would do like go from film to film, you show like less of yourself with a film. And to some degree, it's like, I was probably playing less lead roles, more like, you know, like large supporting roles, like, you know, and you show just like more, you're kind of like picking and choosing like what you show. And that's, you know, an important thing in terms of like telling the story.
Sure.
But when you're telling like this very broad story and it's very long, and you have like, you know, a limited number of like lead characters, and you show a lot of yourself. And before that, I also was not necessarily known for doing that kind of a little bit more broad comedy. Like, I wasn't doing that.
Right.
I knew it was something I could do. That was like, when I read that script, I'm like, I know I haven't done this before, but I know I can nail this.
Wow.
It was like a really, like, it was a really, like, I felt extremely confident. Like, I know I can do this. And I know nobody thinks of me as this yet. Like, my first thing when I was really young, first in my career, and I remember I would go to auditions and I would do movies and I would get cast in a lot of these, like, kind of sardonic, deadpan, sarcastic kind of roles, and then move in playing like girlfriends and things like that. And it was just different. It was different from a lot of the stuff I'd done. Wow. So it was fun to get to be like, I can do, you know, it's like nice when you know, you're like, I haven't done this, but I know I can nail it.
Wow.
That was like, it did teach me a lot to have confidence in the things where you're like, I know I can value add here.
Wow. So 8 years of your life for one project, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, long time.
What would you say were the three biggest lessons you learned about yourself during those 8 years? Maybe personally in your life, in your career, what opened up for you during that time?
That you got to get enough sleep.
Sleep.
Sleep is so important.
It's your health.
Yeah, I think we were just working so hard. Our first like three seasons, we were like not getting, like, I mean, we're just like working so hard and just like spending so many hours on set.
Really?
It's like, and I got into like horseback riding at that time. I like spending outside, like the time I spent like outside, like with animals, I would take like all these vitamins to help with my, like, make sure that I didn't get sick. I did not get sick ever. Everyone was like couldn't believe it. But that was because I really started like really taking care of myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you feel yourself starting to get, you know, tired or exhausted from just all the shooting?
So exhausted. Yeah, we were all so tired. Oh my gosh.
Like 16-hour days, nonstop.
All the time. Yeah.
Really? 16. And the season was what, 3 to 4 months roughly or less?
8 months.
8 months for the season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
It was intense. Yeah. I mean, we spent more time around our castmates, like, and our, you know, like our crew than we did around our families.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one lesson. What else opened up for you during that time?
I also, like, I mean, I ended up, I had both my kids while I was on the show.
Wow.
So I did, like.
How was that, being a mom and being a star of a show? And
it
having
was really hard.
It's like you have two,
I had two
high demanding jobs.
Yeah.
You know, being a mom and being a star of a star show.
I will say, too, that my sister was on the same lot as me. Shooting her show.
Wow.
And also she had her younger baby around the same time I had my older one. So they're just a couple months apart.
So they got to be together.
They got to be together. Yeah, it was nice because she's such a great role model. She's a very hard worker. She's a very good mom. She just like, she gave me so much guidance, you know, like that used it. I think like definitely like, I'm not one to ask for help very much, but like getting advice from people can really just be so helpful.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Was she there the whole time filming as well?
Pretty much. Almost. I think the last season of my show, she was done, but she was pretty much, because her show went like 11 seasons. So.
She's getting those royalties.
I was going to say those. The dramas tend to go longer when they're.
Wow. Yeah. So what was it like growing up with an older sister who was also in the industry, your parents you know, in the industry? What did she teach you that really helped you in your career?
Well, I actually started before her, even though she's older than me. I mean, she wanted to do it like at the same time, but she went to theater school in Boston, and I was here in LA in high school, and I was like, I had the hustle in me, and I was like, I have to do this. And so I started auditioning when I was like 16, but she was in college and not like what was just focused on her studies. I mean, she was studying acting, but or theater and acting, but
she wasn't trying to book gigs.
No, I was trying to book gigs like in high school. I don't know. It's crazy to me now to think my mom had this thing, because from the time I was little, I was like, I have to do this. And she's like, okay. That my parents made a deal with me, because they were like, we know a lot of child actors and we're like not
don't
cool
turn out
with
well.
That just because it's a lot and you have to have a special temperament, which they're like, you don't have. like child actors that are really good. It's like you have to like be okay doing something over and over again and like, you know. It's a different skill than being like a grown-up actor, right? So they're like, once you can drive yourself to auditions, you can.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
You can get an agent. And so basically, when I was like 16, I was like here we go. I wasn't out. I mean, still living with my parents.
Right,
so my mom, like, as an actor, my dad like is a cinematographer and a director. So I had like a lot of, I mean, I can't, we can't like, I can't possibly emphasize enough how much like creative help I had from my family unit. Cause everyone is, it's funny cause people will be like, oh, like nepotism. I'm like, no, my dad's a DP. Like no one's getting jobs cause their dad's a DP. Like right. It's definitely not, but you know, my dad is a great creative mind and like he such a talented person. So like incredible, like knows everything about film. My mom is a great actor and is so nurturing. And so like wow. They both, like my mom would coach me. Like when I didn't have an acting coach, she would like coach me. She would help me read lines with me. She'd be so supportive. My dad, I would have like so many great discussions about film and filmmaking with my dad. Like they both would help me so much. I mean, my dad would also like read lines with me and give me great direction. And and then having a sister who's an actor, it's just it makes you just like automatically have a community. Wow. And how much our communities help us, whether it is our family or whether it's like our found communities, our found families. Mm-hmm. That's so important to, you know, keeping going, because this is a business like the one I'm in. It's easy to want to just go away because it can be like, ugh, like you just have to not go away. You have to just keep sticking it out because you can have long periods of time. I remember like I quit college to do the movie Almost Famous. And I mean, it was my first year of college. And I basically was supposed to just come home and do the movie and go back. And then I just made this weird decision to like ship all my stuff home from Chicago. I was going to Northwestern. I just was like, I'm just going to ship all my stuff home. So I shipped all my stuff home. I do that movie. And then I got no work for a year. And I was really? Just like, yeah. And I was like, what do I do? You know, because you could have a year where you don't work. Or even like last year, we're all like in on strike, like
there's no work.
You could have a terrible year where you don't work, or the pandemic, or all kinds of things, and you just have to be like, no, I like this enough, I'm just gonna just hope keep yeah next it. Year yeah keep doing it.
Did you ever have a time where you thought, oh, maybe I won't get booked again?
Yeah, like after I had kids, you know, you really? Change a little. Yeah, I mean,
but you're
yeah.
on a star show and you're crushing it and you're, you know,
I still
ratings and...
you still have those feelings.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I thought, not that I wouldn't get booked again, but it does feel, it is, I will say, actually, it's not just about kids, but when you're on a show that everyone knows, like, you know, for a long time, and that's what people know you as, and it goes away.
It's hard to get booked again sometimes.
It is, because people think of you as that, and I think, especially, like, me in particular, like, my face and, like, who I am was very much associated with that brand, and, yeah, you get a little nervous, like, who am I now? Like, there's a short film by Jonathan Demme, like with Susan Sarandon and Christopher Walken, called Who Am I This Time? It's about like actors. And I always like the title, like will ring in my head. It's like, who am I this time? But it is scary to go, well, that character's behind me. I can't just like be that character again. I have to find new characters. And it's like, well, who am I now?
So after New Girl ended, was it a challenging time for you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, also, that was my family, you know, like.
So you're seeing each other every day for 8 years.
For 8 years. And
then you all separate.
Yeah. And we like these inside jokes and we like make each other laugh every day. And we have like our rapport. And I miss that. You know, it's weird to go from that to like seeing them, you know, it's not like we'll never again see all those people every day. You know, it's kind of like graduating from high school and moving
college
off. Yeah, like you're with your family every day and all of a sudden you're not. Like,
and everyone moves on to different relationships and jobs and opportunities.
Yeah, and even if you go back and you're like with your family a lot, your friends from high school, they all scatter around the country.
Wow.
It is a huge transition. It's a long time to spend with people.
8 years is a long
time. It's longer than high school. I mean, it's like
That's a lot. It was a decade. Time. You know, it's interesting because I used to work out with one of your co-stars, with Max.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he loves to work
CrossFit.
Out.
CrossFit. CrossFit.
Yeah.
I was just in CrossFit classes with him when I moved here to LA. And this was kind of like, I guess, you know, maybe the height of the show or the first few seasons.
Yeah.
So I knew who he was. And we were always like kind of competing against each other. And one time we were like just chatting after a workout class. And we were like, hey, you want to grab a smoothie and just catch up?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I didn't even know his story. But I was like, how long have you been out here? He's like, I've been in LA for a long time. And I've been essentially for 10 years busting my butt every year, feeling like I'm not going to make it. Getting a little job here and there that would keep me in the industry.
Right.
Until New Girl showed up.
Yeah, he worked so hard. Max
like
is an
decade
example.
Before he got an opportunity.
Yeah, who would like, everyone knew was so talented, but just hadn't had the right break for him. You know, we were talking about earlier, like, oh yeah, sometimes you're great, but you're not right for that part. He just hadn't had that part. You know, it's like Schmidt was like,
he was it.
Perfect.
He was perfect for that.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably like the easiest casting we did.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he and Jake Johnson were the first two people other than me that were cast. I read with everybody, pretty much. Like everybody that was coming in a second time, I went and I said right away, as soon as I was cast, I said, I want to read with everybody because I want to see how they are with me, not just like how they are just generally. It's like, how do we play off of each other? Like, and I also wanted to be there to make people feel comfortable. Because I know how hard it is when, like, you walk in a room, it can be so intimidating. And I'm like, I can be the person to go, like, it's okay. You know, like,
let's have
we're
fun.
Here. Yeah, let's have fun. So I just kind of wanted to be there to, like, make everybody feel comfortable. And
what was that like reading with both of those guys? Did you know right away, like, oh, these got to be the guys?
Yeah. I mean, Max was pretty obvious. And Jake, like, they both were pretty obvious. I mean, Max was just like had that it was like and again I think all that stuff had like and Jake was similar, like where he had been kind of toiling away for a while and hadn't quite hit the right part. But he, you know what the thing about Jake, what he did was Max just like was Schmidt and like figured out how to play that part like guns blazing. Jake played, a lot of people played at the Nick character, like little bits, like kind of more, like there were lots of, pretty much everybody that I read with was good. You know, it wasn't like, there were no bad actors I read with. They were all great because they were being called back. But what Jake had was like, he was like, he made it all feel natural, real. It wasn't like he was playing at it, like he was playing at jokes. He was playing it like he was it.
He was being it.
Yeah, which is the difference to me between something really succeeding and then just something being kind of like not bad, you know?
Right. That was a good job, but it wasn't like it.
He got the character in a way that was like he was real.
You know, we were talking right before we started about being original.
Yes.
And kind of leaning into your uniqueness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also mentioned, and you've talked about this before, kind of growing up ADHD and feeling, I guess, maybe not accepted in certain moments or feeling shut down or feeling like people needed to put you in a box or whatever it might be. I grew up, you know, very dyslexic and still struggle reading and writing today.
Yeah.
And you were saying beforehand about how if you can learn to be original with the, I guess, difficulty you have or the challenge you're facing with, that can be a beautiful asset to yours later in life.
Yeah.
How did you learn to be original with your unique gifts or challenges and not let them hold you back, but allow you to blossom?
Yeah.
Your entire life you've been told to save, but has anyone helped you figure out how to spend? With Fidelity Income Planning, get help creating a personalized plan for cash flow even when you're not working. One that includes your 401k and all your other accounts. Make informed decisions that best fit your life ahead, whether one-on-one or through our planning tools. Learn more at fidelity.com/income planning. Advisory services provided by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC for a fee. Brokerage services by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean, I think that was like the journey of my school years, was learning to be myself. Like, and I've always been a pretty, I always felt like I was normal, but then everybody else would be like,
everyone's
<"You're>
weird.
Not.
Yeah.
So I think being like being my authentic self, but still, you know, thriving within a system, that was the journey of my, you know, like schooling years. And I think when I was really young, my my big challenge was that, again, I think I mentioned I'm a very direct person. And so as a kid, I didn't know like kids are supposed to be like quiet and not. And I would just be like, I don't like that, you know, like, I mean, like a little kid, you know, I didn't know. I'm like, that's just how I felt. And I didn't know you weren't supposed to say that. And I'm not sure exactly how that came about in my personality, but it's just kind of like how I am. Saying something like that to a teacher, not the best idea.
Sure.
But like learning how to, you know,
navigate
be in
system.
A system, navigate the system. Be a good student. By the time I graduated high school, actually, by the time our records counted, I was like the best student.
Really?
It was so funny because I went from being like this like little misfit, wild, like in the principal's office every day of elementary school. Got diagnosed with ADHD when like very few girls were, because I wasn't like crazy hyperactive. I was just like...
I was very distracted.
I was very distracting. I would talk to my neighbors. I was chatter.
At school, at the desk. Yeah,
I make jokes out loud. I have a very loud voice. I do all kinds of stuff you're not supposed to do.
Sure.
And then, but by the time I was like in eighth grade, I was like, I want to be a good student. Mm. I want to thrive in this system. How can I do that? Like, and then I started like seeking out answers. And I remember my mom being like, well, like, you know, like maybe just listen sometimes and just talk like right away. Like, you know, like, okay, that's good advice. Mm. And then maybe like if you want to make more friends, like ask people about themselves. Like those things. Don't just talk about yourself. And like those things that I didn't know naturally. Those were things I had to learn. It wasn't like, I know like I'm kind of outgoing naturally, but like, I didn't have like every social skill just like automatically.
Sure.
So there were a lot of things that I learned and really, you know, helped me thrive. And then like I wanted to be a good student. So I actually spent like pretty much all my time in high school studying.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I want to be a good student. I know some people do it naturally and just like don't have to study and they can just waltz in. But I know I like learned. That's not me.
Sure.
I have to study. I have to work hard. Like, what's important to me? Theater and academics. And I'm just going to focus on those things. And knowing that I can't just like do all that and like party and like, you know, have a crazy social life. I realized that focusing on those things, because that's what was important to me, that I was able to achieve those things because I really put my laser focus on it. And then by the end of high school, I graduated with honors. Like, I was like...
Crushed it.
Yeah, exactly. I got, you know, it was like, I got a really good SAT score, like all this stuff. But it was only because I studied and I worked really hard. Not because I just like... I think a lot of people want you to think they're just like naturally gifted.
Right, right.
And maybe some, you know, there are people who are, but...
That wasn't you.
Not me. I had to work hard.
Wow.
Yeah. But I realized how much applying myself... how rewarding that was, you know.
And it probably set you up for success with your acting career as well. It's because you were really preparing for all the roles that you did.
And that's what, like what I try to impart on my children. I think I was telling you that like my daughter like was in a play and I just like, I told her like, we got to go over your lines every day. And then there was like one day she was like, well, I don't want to. I was like, well, then maybe you don't want those lines. And then she's like, no, I do. So we like really, you know, I think if I impart anything to them, it's that just like working hard, it's not a burden. It's like a privilege.
Absolutely.
Like if you have that, like if you have the, you know, the inspiration to work hard, that means you really like something.
Yeah, it seems to me, I was talking with a Dr. Becky, who's a big parenting expert.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Dr.
I
Becky.
Follow her on Instagram.
I was just had her on last week.
Yeah.
And she was saying that one of the biggest challenges with parenting and kids today mm-hmm. is the lack of hard work in kids.
Yeah.
Kind of parents trying to rescue the kids a lot and make it easier so they're less complaining or less having fits and just happy all the time.
Right.
And she was saying how that's one of the biggest challenges for kids to develop strong character in themselves, strong self-confidence by going through adversity and putting them in more adversity.
Yes.
But it sounds like that's something you like to do as well, is make sure that they're instilled in hard work and discipline. Why do you think so many parents today struggle with that?
Well, I think it's like not about, it's funny, you say discipline and I'm like.
Not discipline, but just instill
the
hard work.
It's the right word. Yeah. I think people associate it with the wrong things. Discipline means teaching, right? Mm-hmm. But people go, oh, discipline, they think it's like hard. And like, it's like, no, it's really like, it's about feeling inspired to do something. And that, you know, we know we have a practice where we do something every day, even if it's not, you know, even if it's not like the most fun thing, but we leave 20 minutes for it or whatever, even 5 minutes, like leaving that time to devote to something. And I think it's more about like those practices. And not shying away from having a hard time. Like not everything is going to be easy all the time. And I can tell you, like, you know, we all have our challenges, and that those challenges like to make us who we are. And I do think like that, the hardest things I went through definitely helped me so much.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
In your mind, one of the most challenging things you had to overcome that supported you the most later in life?
Yeah. Like, I would say like, I mean, look, it's funny because there were like, I said it like a long time ago, and then sometimes people like make fun of you when you say like, oh, like I had a lot of people be very mean to me, like in seventh grade. It was very hard, right? Look, I know that happens to everybody, and I'm not saying like, oh, I'm a victim. I'm not. I only say it because it was painful to me at the time. I was upset a lot, but. What was the reason why I tell the story? It's not to say I'm a victim. It's only to say that even things that are painful, like I learned a lot. Like I learned to like laugh about things, like that, having a sense of humor about things, having perspective on it, going, well, this is bad now, but think about how it's going to be next week. Maybe it's going to be better next week.
Or like, you had that maybe perspective back then?
Well, I started to learn it.
Wow.
It was like you're getting little bits of it,
know?
Like now I have that life philosophy, but it was like over years that you kind of, you know, develop that knowledge that you go, okay, well, like seventh grade was horrible, but eighth grade was better. But it was partially because I invested that time into it and I didn't want it to be so bad. And I realized like, I think the important thing, and probably what you're talking about, Dr. Becky saying that when it's not the parent going in and swooping in and saving somebody, when it's the parent giving advice to a child or, you know, an adolescent and saying, well, if I were you, I'd do this. And then the kid figuring it out on their own and then going, you know, that really helped. And then them being empowered to like get through something themselves. That gives you confidence, that helps your self-esteem. All those things are positive things.
Yeah. How have you learned? I mean, there's a lot of people that watch and listen who are successful entrepreneurs or they're launching businesses.
Yeah.
And they're very driven individuals who also want to better themselves.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women that watch and listen who also want to be driven and successful in their careers and want to be moms.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But sometimes they feel that sometimes they feel like, how can I be really successful and competitive in my career, but also raise good kids and show up and be a great mom and not have mom guilt if I have to go and pursue my dream at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like teaching through example to live your dreams.
Right.
But maybe you won't be there all the time for your kids.
Yeah.
Or certain times you won't be able to be there. How did you learn to navigate that, you know, when your career was just booming with this, you know, these 8 years, and not have the mom guilt, but also be willing to pursue your dream? Like, it's a dance. How did you navigate that?
Well, like when I was on New Girl, I was taking my kids like with me pretty much every day to work, and like had like they had their own little play area and stuff, and they so that was really helpful. I felt like supported. My sister had done it similarly, so I saw it. You know, I was like, okay, this is, and I remember asking my agents to if they could connect me with some other actresses
who had done that.
Wow. You know. And so that was really helpful to me to be able to like have that kind of role modeling and advice. I don't think our world is necessarily set up for working moms, like, unfortunately, although and so you kind of have to fight a little bit for
really?
It. I think. Yeah. I mean, you have to like you have to set your boundaries, like understand like what's important to your kids, right? Like if it's important to them to show up at their sporting events or their school plays or whatever, you try to do that as much as you can. And then if you can't one time, it's okay. I mean, look, the way that I work, I'll have to like go away for a certain period of time sometimes, or, you know, be working really hard and I don't always have control over my schedule, but that's why, like, when I'm home, I drop my kids off at school, I pick them up from school, I take them to their dance classes and their theater classes and all the things that they do, and I go to their performances and I go to the meetings at school, and I'm like there all the time.
Wow.
I mean, I try to because my work is concentrated, right? So I have like these periods of time where I can't be there as much. So I try to, when I can be there, as
focus
absolutely
present,
much
yeah.
as possible. I can't tell you how many times, if you ask my like managers or agents or publicists, when they call me, I'm like in the car, my kids are going like, mommy, you know, like in the backseat, because that's like, I'm just there all the time. I'm like, you know, watching you know, classes, and you know, I like the thing I wanted to for my birthday was like sit and watch musicals with my kids. Like you know, and Jonathan, like I love spending time with them. So
sure.
I try to just as much as possible be there when I can. And you know, they know that I work and they know they're proud of me.
Wow.
And
that's
beautiful. But I try to be, you know, and I mean, very involved in their school, and I like to, you know, be there whenever I can. And so I think that's how I do it. I just try to, as much as possible, be immersed in that. But, you know, we can't always
Of course. Be there. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you're such an inspiration for so many moms who also want to live their dreams and not feel like they can do both at the same time.
It is hard. I mean, it is hard. You just have to like, it does become like Tetris in your mind.
Right, navigating
like,
the schedules.
How can I like be here and there at the same time,
sure,
right?
Sure. This is a question I ask a lot of people that I'm curious your response.
Okay.
Before you, I guess it might be hard for me to ask this question because your career has kind of always been growing and taking off since you were a teenager. You've had a lot of opportunities early on. But can you remember the TV show or the movie that really kind of took your career to the next level? Can you remember what time that was, or maybe the...
It's always
project.
Like little. I was just always felt like it was just little steps. Like I'm always just like stepping. I definitely think like when I did New Girl, that was like a big thing because all this, I had never been like marketed on that level.
Okay. So it was another level.
30 or something when we started.
Wow.
So it wasn't like I wasn't like, you know, a baby. I was a full grown adult.
And you've done a ton of projects already.
I've done a ton of stuff. But like when I did that show, my face was on the side of this building that was like down the street from my house at the time. And I remember driving, it was like on Highland in Hollywood. And I was driving to work, to New Girl. And I see the face, like it's my body, and it goes, it says like simply adorkable. And I was like, oh my God, this is like crazy. And this guy comes up, sees me in my car. I didn't have tinted windows or anything. I just like had a, I think I had like a Prius or something.
Sure.
And this guy sees me in the car and he comes running across Highland. And then you just start like pounding on my window going, hey, hey, and pointing at the thing. And I was like, ah, I remember I was like stuck in traffic, like Highland, anybody who knows LA, like Highland is always like blocked. And I was like, ah, and I like, I was like, I gotta get away. This guy's like pounding on my window. But I remember being like, that's a different level of marketing than I have experienced before. Cause I was like, you know, I did like 500 Days of Summer. Like I was on a bunch of posters and it was a different thing though. It was funny. Cause it was like, I wasn't the lead character that I was like more like the object in that, but I was on some big billboards for that. But when you're on a billboard, it's like a weird surreal thing because it seems like it's so physical, you know, but there's like billboards and then this was a building. This was like a building and it was at the bottom of my hill basically at the time. Yeah. So it was crazy.
How did you learn to, I guess, navigate fame on that level?
That was really hard actually.
Really?
I really wasn't prepared for it. And I felt very like shy and like I wanted to just go like I would like because I love being like on stage and people look, you know, and they clap. I love that feeling. And that's obviously like every actor, you know, performer, singer like loves that. But like the like people running up and, you know, crowding you and that stuff, that was something I had to like, nobody gives you any playbook for that. I didn't have a playbook. I would just like run away. Like I didn't know what to do. And so like, I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes, but like, I think at a certain point I realized it's like, okay, I made this decision to be an actor on television. And of course these people, you know, that means they like the show and like be as gracious as you can. You don't want to get stuck in a dangerous situation, but I think like, having a little bit like some of those like meditative practices, taking a deep breath and just being like, because it's scary when people are. I think the same thing. I had this thing like when I was a kid, people would look at me and laugh and be mean. And so, like, I would the same feeling when everyone looks at you, and so it would remind me of that. So, I'd be like, they are looking at me because they're being mean.
Even though they're cheering you on.
Yes, but it felt the same.
Wow.
So I think getting over that like was an aha moment. Like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of when I was a kid.
Wow.
People would be like kind of bullyish to me.
So it kind of triggered you emotionally.
It would trigger me emotionally. And I was scared. Like I would feel like I want to get out, you know?
Wow.
But like now I don't see it that way at all. I feel like, oh my gosh, it's so nice. People come up and say hello. It's like, as long as my kids feel safe.
Right.
You know?
People are respectful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a different thing.
Where were you on that scale of self-love before that show took off and then after the show took off?
I would actually, it was funny because I would always joke about like ego fluctuation. Not like I had like a very strong sense of self that I know is me. You know, it's like, this is me. I know it's me.
But when you're that famous now, there's a different level of.
But I would definitely. But then there's this shift. Like when you get a perspective shift, right? Where all of a sudden you're like, woo, like you were like micro and then macro. Those both perspective shifts can really throw off your feelings. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I always loved, like, sounds funny. Like I always loved myself. I always felt like a good amount of self, like believing in myself and that kind of, I guess,
self-love. So on that scale, where were you before the show?
I mean, I knew myself. And then, you know, and I'm still always, like, learning about myself. But, you know, also, Then afterwards, I mean, again, like, you're thrown off by the shifts, mm-hmm. but I still, like, knew who I was.
That's great.
You know? I mean, it's hard. I think sometimes when, like, if somebody misunderstands me, that's the hardest thing. And that will throw me into a little bit of, like spirally stuff. Like, really, if somebody, yeah. like, really misunderstands something I do, that feels really bad to me.
Yeah.
I would say that's the hardest thing.
The reason I ask this question is because so many people ask this, too. Before they kind of have a rise in success or mm-hmm. money or fame, I ask them this question, and they a lot of people are always higher on the self-love scale before they take off in their yeah. career or business or following or whatever, and then it drops a little bit afterwards.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had a really good sense of self-identity.
I have a good sense of self-identity. Self-love. If nothing else.
You are who
I
you
know
are.
Who I am who I am.
Wow.
I'm very much like who I am.
You don't need a lot of money to do more with it. Join Padma Lakshmi, Viola Davis, and Fidelity's Women Talk Money team during our free Women's History Month series as we get real about ways you can start planning and saving for the future you want so you can feel good about your money every step of the way. Save your seat today at fidelity.com/WHM. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. According to a recent Indeed survey, don't search, match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the time I was little.
Wow. But how did you learn to accept yourself when others were making fun of you?
Ooh, it was hard. Yeah, that's hard.
Like, how did you learn to adapt and change so others could like you?
That's a really great question.
And just stay the unique, original person that you are.
Well, I think that was, like, the struggle of my adolescence. Like, was, like, being, like, you know, and I did kind of, like, retreat a little bit into myself. Mm. Really, like, was trying to, like, follow what other people wanted for a long time. Fitting. And then I do think kind of through acting, actually, through being a performer and it was like I ended up with the most success when I was like embracing who I am.
Wow.
And so I think that kind of came early on. So I knew that. Like, I'm like, oh, when I let go and I'm not just going, will they like me if I do that? You know, when I kind of and myself, I am successful.
Wow.
More successful than being, especially as an actor, you kind of have to be a little bit uninhibited.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. So when you are yourself, you are successful.
Yeah.
And you're constantly
working. I associate it with success.
Wow.
I guess.
That's beautiful. Even though if you're playing another character, yeah. you're still being yourself.
You're still
in
yourself
that role.
In that character. Wow. I mean, like, I know there are actors that, like, totally lose themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry. Like, even the best actors, you're still like, I don't recognize Meryl Streep. She's the greatest actor in the world, probably, but I still know it's her.
Yeah, of course.
She's still, like, you know, and she can do incredible, you know, transformations, but still, I know it's her.
Wow.
There's still that person in there, and there's a reason why we, like, there's some essence that stays.
Yes.
So we have to at least, and then every actor is different. There's some actors that don't go too far from who they are, but we still love watching them.
Mm.
You know, we still love, they're still great actors. They're just, they're not as transformative as, you know, some others.
What's, where are you at in this season of your life? What's the vision you have now after, you know, 20 plus years of a lot of success in a lot of different genres?
Yeah.
What are you excited about creating and developing moving forward, personally, professionally?
Yeah, I still love acting, and I still love doing music, and I still love doing all the same stuff I liked when I was a kid. Like, I still get excited about it, you know. I still love doing that. I still, you know, I always think of being an actor as like, you're a filmmaker. Like, we're just focused on a more micro thing, but yes. like we're there to help get this made. And again, I think I talked about value add before, but like, am I a value add? Like how could I be the most value add? So it's my job to be like on the film set, helping the film get made, however that is. So it's kind of like, that's fun for me. You know, I enjoy that work. You know, I still really love it and enjoy it, even though I'm a parent now. And, you know, I have a wonderful relationship now, and like all kinds of things going on that are different, you know, than different phases of my life. But I still love doing it. You know,
it's amazing.
It's so fun.
This is a question I ask everyone at the end called the three truths.
Okay.
So imagine a hypothetical scenario.
Okay.
You get to live as long as you want to live in this world.
Okay.
But it's your last day.
Oh, okay.
Many years away from here, it's your last day. And you get to create everything you want to create from this moment moving forward to that last day. But for whatever reason, in this hypothetical scenario, you have to take all of your work with you.
Okay. So
everything you've ever created, projects you've been a part of, this conversation, anything, your music, for whatever reason, we no longer have access to it in this world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But on this last day of life, you get to leave behind three lessons.
Oh, okay.
Three things you know to be true about your life, experiences that you would want to leave behind.
Yeah.
What would be those three lessons or three truths that you would share with people if we didn't have anything else to be remembered by you?
Okay. Yes. I think being able to shift your perspective is one of the greatest strengths you can possibly have, and it's something you can practice. That if you're not having fun in your work, you're doing the wrong thing, and that you should always try to be 100% yourself.
Those are good.
Thank you.
I like those. I like those. Be yourself. Be original.
Yeah.
Be original. I love that. I want to acknowledge you, Zoe, for how you've been so consistent in your life and in your career, and how you've been original. You've had a lot of fun. Like, everything that I feel like I've seen you in and other people have seen you in, you have a lot of fun.
Yes,
and you bring you bring out joy, laughter, love, and a range of emotions for people when they experience your art.
Oh, thank
so I want to acknowledge you for being a great artist, constantly evolving as an artist, showing up and adding value, not just trying to take from every situation, showing up, loving yourself fully, and also contributing to others around you, and just really showing up with a beautiful heart. So I want to acknowledge you for...
That's so sweet.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I want to acknowledge you for all that. Obviously, I don't know you that well, but from what I've witnessed of you and the work that you've created, you bring a lot of love and joy.
That's really nice. Thank you so much. I took that in.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad you did. Final question, Zoe, what is your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness. I actually think it's, I think when you can be humble and recognize the things that you don't know and where you can learn and how you can be better, for me, that's like a state of greatness, because you're not saying I'm done here. You're saying I'm just getting started. I'm still working on it. I have many places I want to go. Of course I don't know everything. Who could?
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a rundown of today's show with all the important links. And if you want weekly exclusive bonus episodes with me, as well as ad-free listening experience, make sure to subscribe to our Greatness Plus channel on Apple Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please share it with a friend over on social media or text a friend. Leave us a review over on Apple Podcast and let me know what you learned over on our social media channels at Lewis House.
cows. I really love hearing the feedback from you, and it helps us continue to make the show better. And if you want more inspiration from our world-class guests and content to learn how to improve the quality of your life, then make sure to sign up for the Greatness Newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox over at greatness.com/newsletter. And if no one has told you today, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Your entire life you've been told to save, but has anyone helped you figure out how to spend? With Fidelity Income Planning, get help creating a personalized plan for cash flow even when you're not working. One that includes your 401k and all your other accounts. Make informed decisions that best fit your life ahead, whether one-on-one or through our planning tools. Learn more at fidelity.com/income planning. Advisory services provided by Fidelity Personal and Workplace Advisors LLC for a fee. Brokerage services by Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.